crazy thinking out there. The Holy Spirit's a this, you know, creepy person or something. And, you know, people say, well, do you believe in that Holy Ghost stuff? Or one of those Holy Ghost people? Yes, I am. I love the Holy Spirit. Yes, I do. How about you?
Amen.
And so not just tonight about, we're going to get into the gifts of the Spirit, and we're going to kind of detour about the fruits of the Spirit tonight a little bit. But again, let's look at John chapter 14, verse 15. John chapter 14, verse 15. And when we see some things here, we see how Jesus, some of Jesus's last, while he was here on the earth, his ministry, he talked about the Holy Spirit and he talked about love, which is, we'll kind of dig into that a little bit tonight too, as far as how that kind of goes into effect, how that works into some different things. But let's look at John chapter 14, verse 15. And we read this earlier, but it's good to kind of read through a few of these scriptures to kind of move forward. And it says, if you love me and obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. So that word is really someone like me, okay? Some of them, they believe it's a Greek word that means paraclete, which means one come alongside, who will never leave you. So, and he is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him. And we're going to look at some other scriptures too, how they cannot receive him. Because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be what? In you. It's very important. I don't, you know, when I watch TV like sports, I don't think it's sports. I enjoy sports, but they aren't really looking for the Holy Spirit, are they? They're not. When you see worldly stuff, we don't see them looking for the Holy Spirit. We don't, you know, no, you don't see on the news, praise the Lord, this people got healed this week and this happened. No, they don't talk about that, right? And so they're not looking for the Holy Spirit. They're not looking for those things, so you don't see them. and he goes, verse 18, no, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me. But you will see me, since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. So one of these also talks about that he says, come and make my home or abode in you, right? So this is something where the Holy Spirit is wanting to have a permanent residency in us and upon us. And so that's very important to understand. You know, a lot of people, they ask for, oh, I wish that God was out there somewhere. Even Christians will do that. Like, well, he's in us and he's upon us. And we need to have a recognition of who's in us and who's upon us. And so in verse 24, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them, and what reveal myself to each of them. So there's impossible for us to separate Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, right? Because they're working as one. They're all as one. And verse 26, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will what? Teach you everything and remind you of everything I've told you. So when we discuss the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's, now Jesus still has a ministry. I don't know if you know that or not. Jesus' ministry is, we see, to give intercession for us at the throne. Right? So even though Jesus isn't here, that's why we say everything in the name of Jesus, is because when we say in the name of Jesus, because he said, well, you won't ask in it, his, you'll ask in my name. You'll pray to the Father in my name. What's that mean? It means you're going to pray, because Jesus doesn't answer prayers. It's the Father does. That's a key. There's a lot of people praying to God. We pray to the Father, but we can receive it because of Jesus. Because why? Remember now, without Jesus, we're kind of messed up, right? We're lost without him, okay? So when we're in this covenant, the covenant is this. Jesus paid the price. He gave us the authority, but we still have to rely on his authority to get to the throne. Yeah. That's the whole key. Now, when we receive it, we can go right to the throne. But when we pray, it says, we pray to the Father, and we use Jesus' name, right? Why? Because when we tag Jesus' name on there, when we say it, we believe in Jesus' name, the Father's ears perk up and go, oh, I remember that covenant 2,000 years ago, right? On the cross. He shed the blood. The stripes were paid. He was a perfect lamb. Ephesians chapter 3, he went to hell, defeated the enemy, right? Revelations chapter 1, he got the keys to hell and the grave. Death and hell, right? So he's got the keys. He's overcome all of these things. And then we come to him. We come to the Father. We use Jesus' name. Well, the great thing is, now Jesus is still at ministry, is at the throne, and he's going before the Father on our behalf in his name. But guess what? The Holy Spirit is here on the earth, continuing Jesus' ministry on the earth through his believers. Right? So we've got three parts of the Trinity that are doing three different things. Right? God's on the throne. He's answering prayers. He's doing things. Jesus is interceding on our behalf. And the Holy Ghost is here, took over the ministry of Jesus. He's now taken over the place. But instead of one physical man, the Holy Spirit now is manifest everywhere. Right? Remember that little saying? Germs and the Holy Ghost are everywhere, right? But that's a good thing. Because guess what? Old Testament, I mean, I just love reading that. I mean, every day, oh, here he goes, talking about the one year Bible again. Just so good. Because you see the Old Testament, and then you see the New Testament, you see that it was good, but then you see we have so much better now, right? I mean, it's so much better. You don't have to get the knife out. We're not sacrificing fluffy. You know, I mean, it's a good deal. We don't have to cut up animals anymore. So, but we see, guess what? In the Old Testament, there was no Jesus. There was no Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit only manifests certain times on certain people, right? It was the prophet, priest, and the king, right? They didn't have the name of Jesus. I know that's shocking, but in the Old Testament, they didn't have the name of Jesus. They had to have their sins covered. They had to go get an animal or a meal sacrifice and go through all of this stuff. We have the best of everything. Right? We really do have it pretty good in this new covenant. I mean, the disciples had it great. I mean, it would have been completely amazing seeing, like, face to face, walking with Jesus. The Bible talks about all of the books in the world cannot contain the miracles that Jesus did. I mean, it would have been mind-blowing to see Jesus perform miracles here on the earth, right? Yeah. But we've got it even better because instead of one person walking around doing these other things, God said, I want to. God's all about multiplication. You ever notice that? Right? He doesn't want you to have some. He wants you to have a lot. He wants all of it. He wants you to have a lot of whatever it is, right? His Spirit, he wants you to have everything you need. And so that same power that was in Jesus can live in and upon us. John chapter 15, verse 26, in the New Living Translation, I like this. It says, but I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth, and he will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. So that's when you know things of the Holy Spirit is because they say the same. It says the same thing as Jesus says, right? You've got God the Father, you've got Jesus, and you've got the Holy Spirit. They're all saying the same thing. They're all in agreement. Everything, right? And people, well, the Lord told me some crazy, like the Lord, you know, told me to go murder somebody. Well, he didn't do that at all. It completely does not agree with anything the Bible says, right? So we know that if whatever the Holy Spirit speaks to us, it's going to be in the Bible. There's going to be some biblical backing, and it's going to we're going to have multiple witnesses with all the Trinity. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Galatians 5:19. Actually, while you're turning, I want to back up. I want to read John 16, 7 through 9, and a few scriptures, and then we'll move on to where we're going to tonight, which is Galatians. But John chapter 16, verse 7 through 9 and 12 through 15, New Living Translation, says, "But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come." This is John 16, verse 7. "If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment." Now, I want to stop here for a moment, okay? Now, years ago, you know, we talked, you know, in the churches, we say, well, I got so-and-so saved, or I got so-and-so saved. Well, we didn't get anybody saved, right? We're just messengers. Or people would say, well, I talked to them and they didn't get saved. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit, we see here, the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts the world of its sin, right? We may be a messenger, but the Holy Spirit is the one working on people's hearts, right? And actually, too, we're going to find out, too, the Holy Spirit works on Christians' hearts, too, right? And you'll have that conviction. So the Holy Spirit pulls and convicts sinners to come to him, and the Holy Spirit is also working with, when we do become believers, always working with us after that, living in us and upon us. So there's conviction from all realms, right? And Brother Hagin does a really good job, which we're definitely going to go there tonight, but there's the human spirit, and there's the Holy Spirit. And when we're connected, our human spirit is connected with the Holy Spirit. Often, and we'll talk about being regenerated here in just a moment, but we're connected with the Holy Spirit. Now, things begin to change in us. We'll talk about the things that begin to change. But just remember that it's the Holy Spirit that convicts the world of a sin. I remember years ago, Adrian and I did, we were just talking with some friends of ours the other night. We went out to eat with them, and that we grew up with. And I went to high school with. He graduated with that, myself, and the other one we went to church with. But really good friends of ours. We've known them for a long, long time. But we were talking about this play. I don't know if you've ever heard it. All can go on YouTube and see it. It's called Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. It's really good. But anyway, I played Jesus, and I sent Adrian to hell like twice in it. So it was, yeah. So she was a new age, like crazy woman. And I ended up, you know, she sent herself to hell. Okay, let me scripturally get that right, okay? Adrian made the wrong decision, and she chose it and rejected me as Jesus, playing Jesus. So
it's a traveling drama.
Anyway, I'm going to grab my water really quick. But it's interesting because at the end of the drama, I was playing Jesus, didn't have any parts and everything, just had to work. Well, at the beginning, I get beat up, right? So you'll watch that, because the intro is all these people, all the strobe, yeah. And all the people that went to hell in the play at the beginning come and are beating Jesus up. And yeah, actually, I got a few jabs in by accident. People, so it's kind of like, wasn't an act at that point, right? But at the beginning, and then at the end, this scripture really, while I was standing there, really, really jumped out at me about the Holy Spirit convicting people of its sin, of their sin. The place is packed, several hundred people there in this church. We all did it as a community. Several churches came together. And as I'm standing there at the end, you know, kind of standing there like this, and the bright lights, you know, behind me, and there's this music, and there's this, you know, kind of salvation thing going on, and you can just feel the conviction on people, right? You can see the Holy Spirit is like over time working on people. Just the looks on their faces, and some people are crying. And there's just so much. And the thing is, it's not because of, you know, I was so great, Adrian was so great, the other people in the play were so great. It was the Holy Spirit was working on people. We were just tools that, you know, I am no actor at all. I have no ability to do anything like that. But the Holy Spirit will use us. And we can see this scripture here. It's very powerful. Let me read it again here, just while we got our eyes on it. And it says, verse 8, and it says, "And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Now, again, this seems really simple, but again, the Holy Spirit is working. That's why I love Mark chapter 16, verse 20, and it says that and the Lord was working with them, confirming the word with what? Signs and miracles following, right? So the Holy Spirit, we think that we're on our own, and that's, I believe, the error sometimes in our word of faith movement is because we think that we have the word or we have these things, and then because of the level of word that we have or we have, it's all about us. It's not about us. I believe the more word that we have, the better, right? We had some people who came to church like, I don't know, few months back, and they were visitors and everything, and we were talking with them, and they came up like, we could tell you're a word of faith person because there are just so many scriptures that you use. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you feel that way, right? Because the word is going to set us free. Amen. And the Holy Spirit also on, you know, anointing the word is what where power comes from. Mm-hmm. And so I just feel like sometimes that we've, you know, gotten so sometimes a little far off. We think that, well, if I've said this 100 times, or if I do this, or if I have the more word in me, then I'm going to have more power. I'm going to do these things. Well, it is good to have a lot of word, and the more word, I don't think you can have too much word, right? It's like, well, I got too much Jesus. Well, that's not possible. I mean, try heaven. I mean, you're breathing the presence of God all the time. So we're going to be saturated, those who are believers, in heaven with his presence. But we also see here that he's the one doing the work, right? We're along for the ride. We're putting our hand to something, but he's anointing things. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about, I am going to leave this other, the Holy Spirit is going to come. He's going to take over my place. He's going to take over my ministry. He's got a different ministry like we just talked about. We don't have time to go there tonight. But the Holy Spirit is here to help us, to bring us comfort. We'll talk about some more things. Verse 12, there is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own, but will tell you what he's heard. Now, I want to stop there for a moment, and you can definitely tell where you're getting into demonic forces in the Holy Spirit, the difference between them. Demonic forces will, first of all, pump you up, bring glory to something else. The Holy Spirit will always point you to the Lord and the Word. And you can always tell, too, I've been around people that are operating in familiar spirits and things like that, too, is because if it's the Holy Spirit, there's always joy and peace. If it's not, there's contention and a little uneasiness, right? A really kind of a creepy feeling. And so there's a big difference there. And then he will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. So the Holy Spirit is obviously working. He's here on the earth in a ministry of Jesus. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit, you know, some people are thinking about we're all glossy-eyed and we're bumping into walls and everything's just this Holy Ghost, you know, all of the time. But, you know, God gave us gray matter, right? I know some people don't use it between their ears. But we do live in a natural realm, right? And, you know, we don't have to be led on what socks to put on, right? It's just maybe ask your wife which ones match and everything else too. And I got this really cool device like last week. I went to Sherwin-Williams for my business, and there's this little cube thing. It's so cool. You can, and probably some of the people know this. I didn't know this because I wasn't really a paint guy. But you can take it and like you could hold it up to this thing. Anyway, so you could hold it up to this thing and it'll tell you the paint code and whether it's satin and everything else. I'm like, that is so cool. Yeah, I gotta have one. Right? It's like, I gotta have that. And so like a little kid like nine. And so I got it, and this week I was testing it out and everything. And then so I put it on my wall, and I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's a good color. And then it says other matching colors, and I was like, whoa. You know? I could be an interior design person tonight. Like, there's all these colors he suggested to match it and do trim and stuff. And I'm like, this is awesome. I don't have to look like an idiot and not know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about paint. You know, I was like, so, I mean, I enjoy painting and, you know, I've done painting before, but it's so cool. I'm thinking, hey, there's even stuff on here that suggests how to match and what colors go with what. And I'm like, this is awesome, right? It's so cool. But it comes here, and so we're seeing there on that, again, the Holy Spirit will tell us whatever we receive from Him. And so the Holy Spirit is giving us downloads, right? So we don't have to sometimes, you know, we've been where, you know, in Bible college, you get these people that are like extremes. And I remember some of the people when we were in Bible college, you know, they're over spiritual, right? You know, I'm just going to be led on what to wear today. I'm going to be led to this. I'm going to be led to this. Just cover yourself up, right? Please, for the rest of us. Just put some clothes on today, all right? But the Holy Spirit will lead us, and even the small things we can still believe in Him and listen to Him on. But again, we know that He's there to help us and He's working on our behalf. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. This is where we want to go tonight. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, and this is what we call the fruits of the Spirit. I feel like this is very important to talk about before we talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Because we need to kind of go and I think too many people, immature people, you know, well, I just say this. Yeah, you don't have to have a bunch of theology and everything. Just go lay hands on somebody and pray for them. Okay? It's not hard. We're not building rockets here. We're not brain surgery. We're not doing these things. Just, you can do it. But I think it's very important to understand, really, to begin with, the Holy Spirit, we need to change ourselves. The Holy Spirit is not just here to, you know, but unto to popular belief, and a lot of the church, again, is just for people to run around and swing off the chandeliers and, you know, get crazy and you know, whatever, just, you know, speaking in tongues and all this other stuff. I love Holy Ghost meetings. I love speaking in tongues. But when we look at the fruits of the Spirit, we'll start here. And at verse 19, and it says, when you follow, we're going to start with the how can I say, the works of the flesh. And then we're going to compare that with the fruits of the Spirit, and we're going to look at the differences and why. So first of all, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry. King James says witchcraft. I like that because that is, you can use it as sorcery, but witchcraft is just about simply controlling other people. Right? Does it mean you got a cauldron and you're, you know, you wear a black cone hat and you have black cats and ride around on brooms? No, what it means is you're controlling and manipulating people, right? And there's, you know, a lot of that stuff going on in and outside of the church. Sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, derision, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living in that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now I'm going to stop there for a moment. You know, and there's so many people here, I'm going to go off a little rabbit trail, but there's so many people that talk about, well, once saved, always saved, right? Well, you know, once you're saved, you're always saved. First of all, everything the Gospels, you have the New Testament. This whole book was written to believers, right? Even the Old Testament was written to people. I mean, anybody obviously can read it. Everybody should read it. But especially when we're looking and living in the New Testament, this is the time period that we're living in right now. And the things that Paul wrote, the things that everything passed, you know, the Gospels, those are written to believers today. And so this Galatians, you know, once saved, always saved was true, then Paul should have never included this in the Bible. Right? What's the need? Everybody should just get born again, or you should just say the prayer and live the way you want to, and we can just get rid of this stuff. We don't even need it, right? Yeah. Hello? Yeah. And then, and let's just say this, this list is all about putting yourself first. And really, this all gets down to someone who doesn't walk in love, which is the greatest commandment, right? You're thinking about yourself. Now, skip down to verse 22. Now, this is the Holy Spirit. So we're seeing the first part is no Holy Spirit in our lives, right? This is all the list of you know, hot mess you can get yourself into, the big dumpster fire list here that you can just wreck your life with, right? You can be, hey, this is the, get yourself and become a hot mess list, right? And the next one is, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these, right? So these are the fruits of the Spirit. That means when the Holy Spirit shows up, when we're born again, we'll look at when we're regenerated here in a moment. But some people, they think about, you know, the Holy Spirit is just scary. No, when the Holy Spirit shows up, these things show up, right? And when He's living in us, these things should be manifest as well. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17, New Living Translation, and then we'll talk more about that. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun." Now, so when we're born again, our nature is changed. And then we'll skip down to Romans chapter 5, verse 3. 5:3. And while you're turning there, so again, the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, those are byproducts of the Holy Spirit, right? That list above it, the works of the flesh, that is the byproducts of the devil. And there's no middle ground here. You know, everybody always thinks it's like, oh, well, I'm okay. You know, the world thinks, well, I'm okay. I don't, you know, murder anybody. You know, I don't do these things. I don't this. No, you're either on one side or the other. There's no in between. You're either, you know, a son or daughter of Satan, or you're a son or daughter of the Lord. There's no in between, right? There's just two lists here. And so Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, first of all, to empower us. So He came, the Holy Spirit, in His power because of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. When the Holy Spirit came in, we see that what happened in the end of Luke, we read about this a few weeks ago, or several weeks ago, when Jesus rose from the dead and He came down, and this is the Holy Spirit breathed into them the life of the Holy Spirit, right? So that's where really the church began, was there at the end of Luke when the Lord breathed into the disciples, the presence of the Holy Spirit went into them. And then we see in Acts, first and second chapter, that's when the Holy Spirit came upon them. So what are we saying here? When the disciples, before they, you know, ended up in Jerusalem waiting in the upper room, waiting for the presence of the Holy Spirit, they had already received this 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Holy Spirit being, it says, was breathed in them. Right? So the spirit man was reborn again. So now they had the nature of the love, the peace, the joy, the patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control. That changes us. So when we're born again, the only way we're born again is because of Christ's sacrifice, but it's because of the power of the Holy Spirit empowering us. Right? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that He's taken over the ministry of Jesus. So we're also what? We are free from the sinful nature. So what Holy Spirit does, He breaks us away from that, the works of the flesh. And we can't do it without Him. We just can't. It's impossible. We just read at the beginning there. That's why, you know, it's so easy for us to get upset and get mad at worldly people. But guess what? Sinners sin. Right? Dogs bark. Right? Cats meow. Cows moo, and sinners sin. That's just what they do. And they get, well, when we get irritated, but the problem with that is they can't be delivered unless Jesus delivers them. That's the problem. Because the only way they're going to get delivered from that is when, if the Lord delivers them, they accept Christ, get born again, and have this Holy Spirit living in them. Then they can have all these things, right? So again, we're empowered. The Holy Spirit now severs our... That's why this ministry of the Holy Spirit is so powerful, because it severs us from what? The works of the flesh. And it empowers us to have the fruits of the Spirit. So you can't really have joy. You can't have peace in your life. You cannot have patience or self-control or faithfulness. Yeah, there are some people that are not born again and they're nice people and, you know, they've stayed faithful in their marriage and, you know, look like it. But you know what? On the inside, they're not really full of peace. They're not. Because scripturally, if you are absent, aren't even born again, you do not have these traits. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:17, we just read that, how we're a new creature now. The Holy Spirit changes us from the inside. So before, you know, people get all focused on, like I said before, they get all focused on the fringe. You know, everybody always looks at groups on the fringe, you know. I mean, everybody looks at, you know, for example, Islam. You know, some people, you know, they're all terrorists. Well, not every person that is Islamic is necessarily packing an AK-47 and, you know, blowing themselves up. That's, you know, there's fringe for every group, right? And so we even look at here with the charismatics, or, you know, everybody outside of the camp thinks we're, you know, crazy and we're just... No, the Holy Spirit is here to give us life. And the Holy Spirit's ministry, first of all, is to get us born again and get His nature in us with the fruits of the Spirit. Again, if you don't have peace in your life, you might just want to examine yourself. Am I walking in these things? Because also, too, you know, we want to help people. And one of the things, too, is, you know, you can't be perfect. You can still help people, and you're still working on things on yourself, right? I mean, nobody's perfect. We all have something that we're working on, we're doing in our lives. Paul says it's a walk. It's something that we're developing over time. And there's sanctification, and there's walking in holiness, and there's a process in that. And that's a lifelong journey. We're not talking about that. But what we are saying is sometimes we need to examine ourselves. If we're not having joy, if we're not having peace in our life, then we can say, what's going on here? Am I... And honestly, too, you know, sometimes we're just, still hung up in the works of the flesh. You know, we're still dealing with some of the works of the flesh, and we just haven't got that thing taken care of, you know. I remember one time we were in Damada, and one of the guys is, you know, from Louisiana, and was one of the pastors that was teaching everything. And, you know, we were kind of got in discussion about, you know, things like AA and all this other stuff, you know, all these 12 steps. And he's like, man, just do one step. Just put that dog down. You know, whatever you're dealing with, just get it. Get it out of your life. We don't need 12 steps or 50 steps or this or that. Just one step to Jesus, and let's get it taken care of, right? And so, and also too, you know, a lot of Christians just aren't walking in joy. I remember watching, it was really, really made me think of this too, Derek Prince. I like a lot of Derek Prince stuff. He's really, you know, kind of interesting, and he's a British minister, and he kind of went through some interesting transformations, you know, as far as through his ministry. A lot of things I read about him that I really admire. He kind of saw some things and made some corrections, and just was a really good teacher, and just really interesting. He was I think he was in World War II for the British military, but just very interesting. But one of the things he said one time I was listening about, he's so right. He says most Christians don't walk in joy. And unfortunately, that's true. I just see a lot of Christians, they just haven't tapped into this, and which is really sad, but we can change that. I said we can change that. Amen. You can walk in joy. You don't have to have that old bird dog of depression or anything like those things. Hey, we can have joy because it is our strength. And that's one thing is the devil's going to attack you on is your joy level. He's going to come after the fruits of the Spirit. Because if you're not walking in the fruits of the Spirit we just talked about, you're not going to probably reach out and do things for other people. Right? Because if you don't have joy, if you don't have peace in your life, you're going to want to tell somebody about Jesus if you don't have peace in your life, right? Okay, I'm going to talk about food. All right. So you go to a restaurant, and it's really good. And then the next time you go out to eat, I want to start a restaurant chain called I Don't Care. Because then that way, when we're in the car, everybody says, where you want to go? They say, I don't care. They're coming to my place, right? I mean, come on now. Huh? That's a great idea, right? There's already the other place. I can say, we're going to have, I don't care. All right? So it's for the mediocre people. Yeah, good enough, right? Yeah, I don't care. But, you go to a restaurant, it's really good. What are you going to tell people about it? Yeah? I mean, one of my places I like to go is Texas Roadhouse. I'm just telling you right now. So, I like them big old steaks and, really pretty good stuff, So when it's my turn to pick or some special event, it's like, where do you want to go? Well, let's slide on over to Texas Roadhouse and let's just have ourselves a big old steak. How about that, guys? Right? So the things that get me excited I want to talk about. Yeah? Right? Like Adrian's Boston Red Sox, right? Do you want to talk about those tonight? No? Okay. We have a jab going on, okay? Her Red Sox are in last place. My Orioles were tied for the Yankees second. They were like a game out. So anyway, but you get excited about things. I don't talk about my football teams. I'm not too excited about them. But we talk about things we're excited about, don't we? And so if you don't have peace, you don't have joy, if you're in depression or anything like that, you're not going to talk about the Lord. You're not going to talk about the Word. You're discouraged, but when you're full of joy and you're full of peace, what are you going to do? You're going to talk about those things, right? Yeah. And so Romans chapter 5, verse 3, excuse me. We can get through this. There we go. Romans 5, 3 says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Now, this is not going to be very popular with, a lot of my colleagues that are really, other preachers out there that are really, if you're having a bad day, you're probably in sin or something's going wrong or you're not prosperous. You know what? Jesus had problems. You're going to have problems. I'm going to have problems, okay? I just figured if people want to kill Jesus and put him away, where does that leave me, right? And he's healing people and doing good things. I'm not saying that people are going to haul you off and nail you to a cross tomorrow, but what I am saying is just things are going to happen. Guess what? You got to deal with them or have someone that can help you with it, right? And so I want to read that again. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, right? Or bills show up in the mail, or, whatever. You ever just notice how kids, they just kind of have a mind of their own sometimes, So you just can't control everything in your life, can you? All right? We just can't, file everything in a way and all these little drawers. Some things just get messy and we need help. Sometimes. Well, that's where we're at here. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strength, our confident hope of salvation. Okay? That's one of those prayers I don't really pray too much about, Lord, give me patience, or Lord, build my character. Those are dangerous prayers to pray. Those are some of those where, oh, what am I doing here? But then it goes on, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us. Here we go. Because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts, what? With his love. Who has it in the King James? King Jimmy? Or not? Verse 5. I can pull it up in mine if nobody got it. But I like the King James. Sorry, everybody, all the anti-King Jameth people. Yes, out there. I think probably my favorite phrase in the King James is filthy lucre. I don't know. That just rolls off the tongue pretty sweet, don't you think? I think it does too. Filthy lucre. I'll take a glass of filthy lucre, please. No. Romans 5:5. It says, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given in us. So we see the Holy Spirit, his love is in us. Now, some days I don't feel that love towards people sometimes. You know what I'm saying? There are certain situations where, but it's in there. Okay? It's in there. If we're born again, we're a new creature. Okay? And so Proverbs 27:17, I'm going to kind of run through some things that I want to get to kind of if we can tonight. Or Mark chapter 2, but Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. New Living Translation says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. I tell you what, the Holy Ghost is here to help us deal with people, right? Because that's kind of really the biggest challenge we're going to have in life. We just deal with people a lot. Mark chapter 2, verse 21, and we'll close here. But I don't want to read through this. This is very good. It helps us understand why the Holy Spirit is here. And the Holy Spirit is here to, first of all, change our nature, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17, that old nature is gone and now we're a new creature. But Jesus kind of outlines something here too. And the Holy Spirit is here to give us capacity. My argument tonight is he's here to, first of all, change our nature, give us some tools, and also he gives us a new capacity. Right? Let's go back in time to, you know, my 10-year-old self. I do not have the capacity when I was 10 that I do now. Right? First of all, you probably wouldn't have wanted me to drive a car when I was 10 years old because I'd have floored that thing and we'd end up in a ditch or rolled her to something and I'd have probably laughed and jumped in it again and did it again. You didn't want me to drive a car back then, right? And I didn't have the capacity to deal with things that I do now, right? And we're still all grown, but I'm saying all of us, when we look back maybe how many years ago when we were just a child, we didn't have the capacity to make decisions that we do now. Well, the Holy Spirit has helped to bring us capacity. And so Mark chapter 2, verse 21 says, besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? So this is where Jesus gets into the old wine and the new wine. Now people always get, well, Jesus said it's okay to drink. No, you're missing the point on this. What he's talking about is the old covenant and the new covenant. And his new wine was his blood that he shed. See, we miss that. But let's talk through this. It says, first of all, for the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. In verse 22, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Here we go. For the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins. What does this mean? We cannot receive the things of God or the Holy Spirit because our old man won't handle it. Right? And we would not have the capacity to retain the things of God, his Spirit, the things that he has for us. So what the Holy Spirit has done, just like there in the end of Luke, when he breathed into the disciples and they received the power of the Holy Spirit in them, their inside was changed. We're a new creature. It's not just so the new creature, but it's because to give us a capacity to receive the Holy Spirit. See, that's key. And we'll get into the gifts of the Spirit and all the good stuff, but really what the Holy Spirit is here to do, he's here to, Jesus paid the price, the Holy Spirit came with the gifts, Jesus paid off our credit cards, spiritual credit cards, and he paid off all that stuff, and he paid off all our spiritual debt, and he took care of our sin, and then the Holy Spirit is like, I'm going to make you brand new. All right? So the Holy Spirit shows up with the goods that Jesus paid for, right? And so the Holy, when Jesus went to the cross, he paid it, everything's cool now, and the Holy Spirit shows up with the things that Jesus paid for, and he gives them to us now. First of all, it's a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, it says Romans 5:5 that the Holy Spirit shows up, and we are now, right, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Nobody in hell has a capacity to receive love. They don't. No one in hell has a capacity for compassion. Nobody. Why? Because their nature. They just don't have capacity to. It's like, you know, me walking up to the girls when they were 3 years old. You know, interest rates were low. What do you think I should do? Should we? I mean, it dropped like, you know, 750 bips. You know, should we go refinance it? Is that cost effective? There's no capacity there, right? They don't understand it. We just read there where Jesus said the world doesn't have the capacity to understand the Holy Spirit or even to receive the Holy Spirit. But guess what? With the new wine, with the Holy Spirit showing up, changing our nature, now thank God for the Holy Spirit. See how important the Holy Spirit is? We look over him. Jesus is, you know, he is the focal point of the Bible, right? Because he is, we see him in every book of the Bible. Throughout, I mean, from Genesis, right? He's the seed in Genesis 3 all the way through, you know, Revelation. He is our avenging king that's going to come and redeem us, and he's going to you know, taking names and kicking you know what. He's taking care of business, and he's not going to be the always the loving king and everything else too. He's going to punish the evil, and he's going to come back for his people. And so we see him every step of the way, but the Holy Spirit is the one that brings it all together. He's the glue that delivers the new creature in us, right? He's the one that delivers the power. He's the one that is delivering the healing that Jesus paid the price at the cross and took the stripes for us. So the Holy Spirit is delivering the goods that Jesus paid for. And so many people are disrespecting the Holy Spirit, mocking the Holy Spirit, making fun of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is so valuable, and we would not have what we have without the Holy Spirit, right? We would not have what we have if it wasn't for the Father, because the Father created everything, right? And Jesus was there, but he sent Jesus to redeem us. We wouldn't have anything what we do if Jesus didn't show up, because he's the one that paid the price. We wouldn't have anything that we have now if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is delivering the goods that Jesus paid for, that he was sent from the Father, which created him from the beginning. Well, he created us from the beginning, but they've always been here, right? So tonight, again, the Holy Spirit brings capacity. The Holy Spirit brings a capacity to be able to receive things from God, to be able to receive love, to be able to receive the gifts or the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And then he's the one that breathes the life into us in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Amen. And he's the one that Jesus prophesied over and spoke in John chapter 14, John chapter 16, and John chapter 17. Amen. And so, for us to understand where all this comes from, how it reached us, and how we're going to walk in it, is going to be now we understand these things. Now, moving forward, we're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit in the future. We won't operate in the gifts of the Spirit to see those things if we can't get a handle on the fruits of the Spirit. Because I remember the Lord speaking to Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, about things, and he said he would show things about preachers. Their personal lives were out of control. They weren't walking love people. They weren't doing these things. And I'm telling you what, the faith worketh by love. Love is the oil that keeps the faith engine together. And if we're not walking in the fruits of the Spirit, often we're going to get sidetracked with the gifts of the Spirit in our life, right? Because what are the gifts of the Spirit? The gifts of the Spirit are given to us out of love. People have, you know, so it's a progress to understand where this came from, what my nature is, what's the Spirit of God like, what's the Holy Spirit like, what does He want for me, what's His nature like, before we can move on to understand things about the gifts of the Spirit. You know, we were just talking with some friends the other night, and they're in a Spirit-filled church. And in fact, I was a kid, one of the churches I went to, we would do things with them. And then Adrian and I we would do community events with this other church and everything else too. And they're talking about, I mean, they don't even, somebody spoke in tongues and in the church, and everybody just kind of freaked out. It's like, you know, we should be walking in this stuff, right? This isn't something that should be catching us off guard. And I mean, this denomination came out of the Azusa Street Revival in the early 20th century. So supernatural things happen. So we don't want to lose the Holy Spirit. And that's one thing Jesus said is a big no-no, is if we grieve the Holy Spirit. And that's something we always need to honor the Holy Spirit. We need to love the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit loves us. And then also, too, He wants good things for us. And there's huge blessings in walking with the Holy Spirit and also just being His friend. And I love what Jesus talked about. He was talking about, I no longer call you servants, but I call you what? Friends. And so the Holy Spirit, first of all, is Jesus talked about there in the book of John, is a friend of ours. And He's there to help us and lead us and guide us. Amen. Father, we just thank You tonight for Holy Spirit. We love You, Lord. We love Your Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah. And also, too, you know, we just want to pray for people. If you've never accepted Jesus or if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we always want to pray with you. Amen. We always want to give you opportunity to come to Jesus or rededicate yourself or be filled or be even refilled. Amen. Father, we thank You again for this week that is blessed. Lord, we thank You that we're going to recognize and walk in the gifts of the fruits of the Spirit this week, Lord. We thank You so much for Your ministry and who You are and what You do for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, have a great week, everybody.